The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies magazines. We begin with this one from Women's Day. Did you know that October 31st is Magic Day? I have a quick little quote from Nora Roberts. Magic exists. Who can doubt it when there are rainbows and wildflowers, the music of the wind, and the silence of the stars? From Better Homes and Gardens, Adaptive Design. These beauty brands and products harness universal design principles to accommodate low vision, motor impairments, and other needs. And 3, 6, it looks like there's 8 of them. First, better stability. Ergonomic, easy grip makeup brushes are the latest addition to Guide Beauty's inclusive makeup range. The brand recently brought on actress Selma Blair, who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2018, as a collaborator. And so the company is Guide, G-U-I-D-E, Beauty. Tactile markings with often nearly identical bottles, shampoos, and conditioners can be easily confused. Herbal essences added indentations to their bottles with stripes on the back denoting shampoo and dots for conditioner. And that's herbal essence, shampoo and conditioner. Increased dexterity. The Poppy tool from Olive & June was designed to make DIY manicures easier. The patented ergonomic design, which fits onto any polished bottle, provides more stability than the average polish cap. Oh, I see. It's much larger and easier to hold on to than the lid of a nail polish bottle, so that you can hang on to it easier while you're painting. It says, though not specifically designed for those with motor issues, this design does aid stability for smoother application. I might try it myself. It was the Poppy tool from Olive & June. Accessible tops. Olay. The oil of Olay people. Their easy open lid features Braille for those with sight challenges, plus wings and a raised design to make it easier to grip. Boosting the accessibility factor, it's free with an online purchase of select Regenerist moisturizers. Braille packaging. A pioneer of inclusive design, L'Occitane has offered Braille on labels of its best-selling collection since 1997. After founder Oliver Brawson worked with a blind salesman to create a production standard for packaging. I'll spell L'Occitane, L'Occitane. I imagine they've got a nice website. Tactile support. Helmed by a mom of a child with visual impairment, Victoria Land Beauty has a proprietary tactile symbol system to help users identify its skincare products, like a crescent for night cream to resemble a moon, and a drop for face oil. The website and cartons have QR codes that provide audible descriptions of the products and how to use them. And that was Victoria Land Beauty. V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A-L-A-N-D. And then B-E-A-U-T-Y. Easy grip applicators. Inclusion is baked into the mission of Selena Gomez's Rare Beauty line. And while the brand makes no claims around accessibility, users with dexterity issues have noted the packaging is easy to open and use. And that's Selena Gomez's Rare, R-A-R-E, Beauty, B-E-A-U-T-Y, line. And for simpler styling, wielding a hairdryer and brush can be challenging across all ability levels. The Revlon One-Step Volumizer Plus features a small oval shape to better reach the roots and work with short hair, plus a slim, comfortable handle. From Women's Day, author Mia P. Manansala shares a few of her favorite whodunits. Pick them up along with her book, Blackmail and Bibinka. I'll spell her last name, M-A-N-A-N-S-A-L-A. Her book, Blackmail and Bibinka, a delicious culture-filled mystery in which baker Lila investigates a murder to prove her long-lost cousin's innocence or guilt. So her three recommendations. First, Like a Sister by Kelly Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. After her estranged sister is found dead of a supposed overdose, Lena knows there's more to the story than the media's portrayal of the tragic yet expected end of the disgraced reality star, and she's going to do what it takes to find the truth. It's a twisty, suspenseful reflection on the bonds of family, celebrity culture, and what it means to be a strong black woman. Death by Bubble Tea by Jennifer J. Chow, C-H-O-W. Delicious treats, family drama, and murder at an L.A. night market are the order of the day for Yale Yi, the engaging and multi-layered lead. This is a fantastic series starter. You'll be eager to see what else is in store for the Yi family and the Eastwood Village night market. And Harlem Sunset by Nakisa Afia, A-F-I-A. In 1920s Harlem, Lou, a young black lesbian with a tragic history, is finally getting her life together, until a woman from her past turns up dead and Lou's girlfriend becomes the main suspect, driving Lou to do what it takes to clear her beloved's name. From Good Housekeeping, easy ways to make hard decisions. Four steps that can take you from dwelling to reaching a conclusion. These days, even deciding what to have for dinner can feel like a monumental task. So tackling the big stuff, should I change jobs, sell the house, end my relationship, can seem downright impossible. There's a reason for that. The stress and uncertainty of the past few years have left many of us with major decision fatigue. In a 2021 survey conducted by the Harris Poll on behalf of the American Psychological Association, almost a third of adults said they were sometimes so stressed about the COVID-19 pandemic that they struggled to make basic decisions. Change requires mental energy, and these past 2+ years have required constantly navigating change, explains Rebecca Jackson, a board-certified cognitive specialist for Brain Balance, a brain and body wellness program for kids and adults. The good news is, a few surprisingly simple steps can help make the route forward a little clearer, no matter where you're headed. Step 1. Map out a path. One decision-making technique that author and certified life coach Anita Canty teaches her clients is BRAVE, an acronym for Beliefs, Readiness, Alignment, Vision, and Engagement. The philosophy behind this starts with creating beneliefs, a word she coined, benevolent self-beliefs, to bestow helpful attitudes and assumptions. For example, someone contemplating a move to a new city should first believe they're capable of thriving in a new place. Benevolief. Think about the steps needed to make the jump. Readiness. Figure out who and what else will be affected by the change, such as family members, career, and finances. That's alignment. Try to figure what getting into and living in a new city would feel like. Vision. And then finally, if all that seems right, start working toward the actual move. Engagement. This way of thinking provides a roadmap for making decisions, Canty explains. 2, pick the right time. If you've ever found yourself standing in the front of the fridge in a daze at the end of a hard work day, you already know that timing matters when it comes to decision making. Jackson recommends structuring your day so you can make bigger decisions early on, when you naturally have more mental bandwidth. As the brain runs out of reserves and resources, we drop down into lower functioning brain networks, Jackson explains. That means functioning in the moment and having a hard time thinking and planning ahead. If you can, start your day with the items that need your full decision-making power, instead of tackling the easy tasks first and working up to the more relaxing ones. Step 3, avoid brooding. Brains aren't meant for multitasking, even though our society celebrates it. Focusing on something in peace, whether that's reading a contemplative book, listening to a meditative podcast, journaling, taking a walk, or talking to a friend, can help your brain focus on the decision at hand. Jackson also likes what she calls going breathless, or doing a few jumping jacks or lunges, or another heart-pumping exercise to refresh and focus. Finally, writing it out can help get your brain out of that stress loop big changes can lock you into. Our brains will rehearse and repeat, Jackson says. Especially when we're stressed, we get stuck in a negative feedback loop. Writing helps get the stress out of your head and signals to your brain that it can stop ruminating. Writing down a list of pros and cons also helps some people. That said, economist Russ Roberts, author of Wild Problems, cautions that the technique isn't particularly helpful for decisions that have difficult-to-predict results, such as getting married and having kids. Leave the pros and cons for issues that have less at stake. If you do use a pro-con list, remember to include big-picture considerations, like meaning, purpose, and how the decision will affect how you see yourself. And 4, cut yourself some slack. As both Roberts and Jackson point out, you can't predict how things will actually turn out, so don't stress over making the perfect decision. Inevitably, the best path is one you can't plan in advance. You have to learn as you go along, Roberts advises. Excuse me. From Magnolia Magazine, Maranta lucernura, also known as the prayer plant. The simple act of bringing plants into our homes encourages us to build new rituals in the day. Tangible actions like regular watering and tending become part of our rhythms. Prayer plants are unique in that they offer their own rituals as well. Every evening, these tropical beauties fold their leaves shut in a motion that resembles hands folding in prayer. These rainforest natives are happiest when temperatures are warm and humidity high. For this reason, many people choose to keep prayer plants indoors to control the factors that help them thrive. Prayer plants do well in pots, and their leaves, soft green foliage with deep red veins, are eye-catching, whether open during the day or closed for their nightly prayers. Caring for your prayer plant. Light. Prayer plants thrive under the tree cover of a rainforest. In their homes, they grow best with indirect light. The corner of a room works well out of the spray of sunshine. Air. This rainforest plant likes humidity. Protect it from air conditioning vents and heaters, which can dry it out, or place it near a humidifier. Water. Keep the top layer of soil moist at all times, but do not allow the plant to sit in standing water. The water should be room temperature, neither cold nor hot. Mist every few days and water well before propagating. And maintenance. Prayer plants should grow to a height of 6 to 12 inches. Prune to encourage bushy growth. Fertilize every 2 weeks during spring and fall, using a water-soluble fertilizer diluted to half strength. The plant can go outside in the summer if it has a shady nook and overnight temperatures above 50 degrees. In winter, the plant may go dormant. From Better Homes and Gardens, good grains. Whole grains are satisfying sources of energy and fiber, a hunger-crushing combination. Build-A-Bowl cookbook author Nikki Sizemore, S-I-Z-E-M-O-R-E, in the book Build-A-Bowl, breaks down her formula for making satisfying grain bowls. A. Whole grains. Wheat berries, sorghum, quinoa, buckwheat, spelt, farro, and barley. Grains and the seeds of edible grasses, including buckwheat and sorghum, are some of our favorite complex carb bases for grain bowls. Find them in the bulk bins aisle at the store and cook them in batches ahead of time, reheating half-cup servings as needed. Whole grains, that's your protein, B. In their own contain some protein, but you can amp up the nutrition of your bowl by adding another type of protein. Try beans or peas, eggs, meat, or seafood. A plant-based staple or plant-based staples like hummus, tofu, or tempeh. A final sprinkle of cheese, nuts, or toasted seeds builds in even more. C. Vegetables. Veggies are an important source of color and flavor that prevent a grain bowl from feeling too heavy. Plan to add at least two types in combination, leafy plus starchy or crunchy plus juicy. Mixing raw and cooked vegetables, either warm or cool, guarantees dynamic texture variation. D. A flavorful sauce. A well-chosen sauce or drizzle can absolutely be the difference between a boring bowl and one that sings. Your sauce can be simple: citrus juice, yogurt, tahini, or honey. Or you can layer in lots of flavor with a vinaigrette, salsa, chimichurri, flavored mayo, hot sauce, or sambal. Combine them by pairing sweet and sour, or creamy plus spicy. And the finishing touches. Restaurant-quality grain bowls often have that special something that takes them to the next level. Maybe it's a fried egg with a runny yolk, a few leaves of a fresh herb, or a sprinkle of flavorful spices like dried flaked chilies or za'atar. Don't skip these extras. And still from Better Homes and Gardens, a few bowl options for you. First up, Lady in Pink Pasta. Start to finish, 30 minutes. We need 1 pound dried penne, one finely chopped shallot or quarter cup, one clove of garlic minced, one teaspoon crushed red pepper, a quarter cup tomato paste, one cup vodka, one 15-ounce can of whole peeled tomatoes crushed by hand, one cup heavy cream, 3/4 pound medium shrimp peeled and deveined, 41 to 50 count, and 2 teaspoons chopped fresh parsley. Bring a large pot of water to boiling. Add sea salt until water tastes like a seasoned soup. Add pasta and cook according to package directions until al dente. Reserve 1/4 cup cooking liquid and drain the pasta. Meanwhile, in a large, deep skillet, heat 3 tablespoons olive oil over medium-low. Add shallot, garlic, red pepper, and a pinch of sea salt. Cook until shallot starts sizzling, 1 to 2 minutes. Stir in the tomato paste. Increase heat to medium-high. Cook and stir until tomato base darkens in color, 2 minutes. Stir in vodka. Simmer until liquid reduces by half, 4 minutes. Stir in crushed tomatoes, cream, and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and ground black pepper. Simmer 5 minutes to blend flavors and slightly thicken, stirring frequently. Add shrimp, cook, and stir until opaque, 5 minutes. Add drained pasta to shrimp mixture, toss to combine. Remove from heat. Add pasta cooking water 1 tablespoon at a time, as needed, to thin sauce until creamy. Season with additional salt, top with parsley, and this makes 4, enough for 4. And smoked salmon millet bowls. Start to finish, 35 minutes. 1 cup millet, 4 eggs, 1/4 cup of creme fraiche, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh parsley, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh dill, 1 small seedless cucumber, halved lengthwise and then thinly sliced, about 1 cup, 1 small shallot, thinly sliced, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 6 to 8 ounces smoked salmon or lox, thinly sliced, 2 avocados, seeded, peeled, and sliced into wedges, and 2 tablespoons capers, drained, then everything bagel seasoning and lemon wedges. In a medium saucepan, bring 2 cups water to boiling. Add the millet and a teaspoon salt. Return to boiling. Reduce heat. Cover and simmer until millet is tender and the water is absorbed, 15 minutes. Remove from heat. Let stand covered 5 to 10 minutes to steam. Meanwhile, place eggs in a single layer in another saucepan, medium. Add enough cold water to cover the eggs by 1 inch. Bring to a rapid boil. Remove from heat, cover, and let stand 8 minutes, then drain. Yolks will be jammy, not runny. Place in a bowl of ice water until eggs are barely warm, 2 minutes, then drain. Peel eggs and cut in half lengthwise. In a medium bowl, stir together millet, creme fraiche, parsley, and 1 tablespoon of the dill. In a small bowl, combine cucumber, shallot, and lemon juice. Spoon millet into bowls, add cucumber mixture, smoked salmon, avocado wedges, and egg halves. Sprinkle with capers, the remaining tablespoon of dill, and the bagel seasoning. Add lemon wedges, and that serves 4 as well. And 1 more bowl, black-eyed pea risotto. Start to finish 45 minutes. 6 cups chicken broth, 8 tablespoons unsalted butter, that's a whole stick, 1/8 cup of olive oil, 1 cup finely diced yellow onion, 1 14.5-ounce can black-eyed peas, rinsed and drained, 5 garlic cloves minced, 2 cups arborio rice, 1/2 cup dry white wine, 1.5 cups grated Parmesan cheese, and 1 cup frozen peas. Heat the chicken broth in a medium saucepan, then cover and keep warm on low. Melt the butter in a 4 to 6 quart pot over medium heat and add the olive oil. Add the onion and sauté, stirring occasionally until tender and translucent, 8 to 10 minutes. Add the black-eyed peas and garlic. Cook, stirring until the peas are tender, 10 to 12 minutes. Add the rice and stir to incorporate with the peas, then immediately add the white wine. Cook, stirring often, until the liquid is absorbed, about 2 minutes. Add 1 cup of the broth to the pan and simmer over medium-low, stirring until the liquid is absorbed, 3 to 4 minutes, stirring often. Continue to cook, adding broth by the cupful and stirring often until the rice is tender and creamy, 28 to 32 minutes. Stir in the Parmesan and the peas. Add salt and freshly cracked black pepper to taste. And this serves 4 as well. From Real Simple, the sweet stuff, tiramisu ice pops. It's your favorite Italian dessert, reimagined as a cold, creamy, grown-up treat. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time is 6 hours and 45, but that includes the freeze time. And it makes 10. We need 1 tablespoon instant espresso granules, 8 ounces mascarpone cheese, 1/3 cup granulated sugar, 1 cup heavy cream, 1 tablespoon dark rum or 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, 2 ounces 70% cacao bittersweet chocolate. Whisk 1/3 cup of boiling water and the espresso granules in a large bowl until the granules dissolve. Let cool completely, about 20 minutes. Beat cheese and sugar with an electric mixer on low speed until smooth, about 30 seconds. Add cream, beating until sugar dissolves and soft peaks form, about 1 minute. Transfer 1.5 cups of the cheese mixture to the espresso mixture in a bowl. Fold in the rum using a rubber spatula. Transfer espresso cheese mixture to a large zip-top plastic bag. Transfer plain cheese mixture to a separate large zip-top plastic bag. Cut off the tip from each bag using scissors. Pipe espresso cheese mixture into 10 3-ounce ice pop molds. Yes, you're making popsicles. Filling each about 2/3 of the way up. Tap molds on the counter for a few times to remove any air bubbles. Then pipe plain cheese mixture evenly on top of the espresso cheese mixture. Tap the molds on the counter to remove any air bubbles. Insert an ice pop stick into the center of each mold. Freeze until pops are completely firm and sticks are set, at least 6 hours and for up to 48 hours. Melt chocolate on stove or in microwave. Let cool. Remove ice pops from the freezer and quickly run the bottoms of the molds under warm water. Gently remove ice pops from the molds and place on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper. Using a fork, drizzle with melted chocolate. Freeze until chocolate is hardened, about 10 minutes. And as I said, it makes 10 adult popsicles. From Good Housekeeping, pork chops with pear salad. Active time is 25 minutes, so's the total. We need 4 tablespoons olive oil divided, 4 1.5-inch pork rib chops, about 2 pounds total, kosher salt and pepper, 4 cloves garlic smashed, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 2 teaspoons Dijon mustard, 2 stalks celery thinly sliced on a bias, 1 Bartlett pear cored and thinly sliced, 1 bulb fennel cored and thinly sliced, 1 scallion thinly sliced, 2 small bunches of arugula, thick stems discarded, 1/2 cup of walnuts. Heat oven to 425. Heat 2 tablespoons olive oil in a large oven-safe skillet over medium-high. Season pork chops with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and cook on one side until golden brown, 3 to 4 minutes. Turn chops, scatter garlic around them, and cook 2 minutes more. Transfer skillet to oven and roast until chops are just cooked through, 6 to 8 minutes. Let chops rest 5 minutes before serving. In a large bowl, whisk together lemon juice, remaining 2 tablespoons oil, Dijon mustard, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Add celery, pear, fennel, and scallion, and toss to combine. Just before serving, toss with arugula, then nuts, and serve with pork. And that serves 4. From Woman's Day, some noodle know-how. Pick your perfect pasta. Use your pasta primer, our pasta primer, to get to know some more fun forms. First, consigli. I'm saying these all wrong, I'm sure. A.K.A. shells. They come in various sizes for stuffing and saucing. Rigatoni. Serve these short tubes with heartier sauces like bolognese. Bucatini. The thick, hollow strands are great for marinara. So they resemble a fat spaghetti, but they're hollow. Orzo. Like the pasta version of rice, it shines on salads and soups. One of my favorite ever was a creamy tomato orzo that I used to get at a restaurant. Rotini. It's spiral shape. They look like little screws, little sausage curls. Its spiral shape offers sauce-catching nooks and crannies. And from Good Housekeeping, how can I revive a stained or scorched enameled cast iron Dutch oven? Answer, this brightly covered cookware is beautiful when new, but sear a pot roast or brown beef cubes for stew, and that like-new look, especially if the interior is white or ivory, seems gone for good. Even when clean, it can still appear dingy inside, but with a little elbow grease, you can make it look brighter. First, wet the interior and apply a bleach gel-like soft scrub. Then, with a non-scratch pad or brush, gently work that into the surface. Let it stand a few minutes and then rinse. Repeat until clean. For deep stains, pour in a mix of 1/4 of water and 3 tablespoons chlorine bleach and let it soak 2 to 3 hours. Wash and dry. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latchaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. It's available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening. See you next time.